Hallelujah. I don't mean this to sound cocky in any way, but He's worthy of praise no matter what's going on in our life. It's a preacher, you don't know how bad it is. I know how bad it could be. I could be in hell this morning. You say, well, I don't deserve this. No, we deserve worse. So He's still good. Amen. I appreciate folks being obedient, just minding the Lord this morning. Right after the book of Judges in your Bible, you'll find the book of Ruth. I want you to be turning there this morning. Ruth chapter number 1. I got a whole lot of message this morning. I'll probably only preach a portion of it. Thank you, Brother Todd. But we want to mind the Lord this morning, certainly. Amen. I love the book of Ruth. Yes, I wonder how many of you, by show of hands, could honestly say, I've read the book of Ruth, the entire book of Ruth. You know, you can read the entire book of Ruth in about 10 minutes. It's just 4 chapters. The book of Ruth has less than 100 verses in the entire book. Yet some preacher said, having less than 100 verses, it would take a preacher a lifetime to exhaust its riches if he preached it every Sunday. The book of Ruth to me is one of the prettiest books in the Bible. It's one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible. One fella by the name of Boone wrote a book, and the title of his book was Ruth's Romance of Redemption. And that would be a good title of the book, I believe. Amen? This book, it contains a treasury of gems. There are scenes that are tragic, domestic, romantic, dramatic, historic, and prophetic. Oh yeah. It's one of 2 books in the Bible that are named after a woman. The book of Ruth and the book of Esther. Come on, talk to me. The book of Ruth and the book of Esther. In the book of, there's Esther, a Jew that married a Gentile husband, and Ruth, a Gentile that married a Hebrew husband. Isn't that interesting? We're going to look at a few things about this story this morning, and I want to preach to you on a very serious note. I would have loved just to let the singing go on. Let's just shout and praise the Lord a little while. But sometimes the preacher has to go into areas that we really don't enjoy going. I'm not telling you it's going to be a scolding kind of message this morning, but maybe it'll be a sobering kind of message. You ever hear that sermon that you leave and you think, I need to give that some thought. Maybe that'll be one of those this morning that'll help you. Ruth chapter number 1, I want us to look at about 7 or 8 verses of Scripture this morning. The Bible said in verse number 1, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his 2 sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband," say the next word with me, "died, and she was left and her 2 sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpha, and the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years." Now, I'm going to stop reading right there for just a second. Look at me. 10 years is a long time to be away from where you belong. Let's say that again. 10 years is a long time to be away from where you belong. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but they were not where they belonged. Do you know the longer you stay away from where you belong, the harder it is to return? Yes, sir. Amen? Yes, sir. I'll leave that alone for now. I'm looking for where I was. Somebody help me. Verse 5, "And Mahlon and Chilion," that's the 2 boys, say the next word, "died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. This morning I want to talk to you for a few minutes on this subject, three graves in Moab. Three graves in Moab. We'll look at this thing just for a second, but I want you to notice, first of all, the departure from the Lord. The departure from the Lord. And let me say that the departure from the Lord came long before they left Bethlehem, Judah. Our story opens with this little word, now it came to pass. And what that does, that word now connects us to the former book of Judges. Would you agree with that? It is a continuation. We left off at the end of Judges in verse number 25 of Judges 21. And then it says, now it came to pass. Well, how did the book of Judges end? It said, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We're in trouble when we get to that place when the king is not ruling. There will be no righteousness. There was an absence of a ruler over the land. No leadership. Can I say it again? No leadership. Maybe somebody will get on the same page with me here in a minute. When we have no leadership or we have bad leadership, what is bad leadership? Bad leadership is a leadership that leads us away from righteousness and the things of God. Good leadership will lead us toward righteousness and the things of God. Good leadership will lead you to the house of God. Bad leadership will lead you away from the house of God. And anytime we have a breakdown in leadership, whether it be in the home or in the country, we're going to see famine. We're going to see a move away from God. Now, I wouldn't say that America is in a famine, but some of us are going through it worse than we ever have. Amen. We could look at each other and say, well, they had it way worse back there in the Depression. I didn't live then. I can't compare it to that. I wasn't there. I can't compare it to picking cotton for 25 cents a day. I wasn't there. But I'm not going as far to say we're in a famine, but I will go this far to say the leadership of our nation has led us away from holiness and led us away from God. And if America doesn't turn, we're in trouble. Amen. We're just like they wound up in the book of Judges. Every man did that which was right in their own eyes. You can't get along in your marriage? Divorce. You don't want that baby? Kill it. Joe, you want to sleep with Sam? Go for it. Come on, y'all. Don't get sideways with me this morning. That's where we are in America. Nothing's wrong anymore. Everything's all right as long as it makes you happy. Be honest with you, it's not making you happy. Amen. It's not making you happy. It's giving you a fix. We all right? That's where we are in America. And when the leadership of the country fails, it has a trickle-down effect. When the leadership of the country fails, then the leadership of the states fail. And when the leadership of the states fail, the leadership of the counties fail. And when the leadership of the counties fail, hey, are you listening? The leadership of the home fails. And that's what we have in the life of Elimelech, this husband, and Naomi, this mother, and Mahlon and Chilion, these two boys. The result of this tragic condition was a famine in the land. We see a national tragedy and a national famine. But in the opening verses of Ruth, we also see a personal departure from the Lord. A husband and a wife by the name of Elimelech and Naomi and their son. You know what Elimelech means? Elimelech means God is my king, or my God is king. Elimelech's own name stood for the fact that he had made God the king of his life. Now that's a testimony right there. I mean, boy, what if I didn't say, hey, Brother Shane, what if I said, hey, Brother, God is my king? What if that's what they knew you as? There's that old boy who's made God his king. There's that old guy. That's a real Christian right there. The Lord is his king. And that's what they said about him. Amen. God is my king. I mean, that reminds us of a Christian who has served the Lord because the Lord is his king. Amen. God was his king. I'm talking about this is somebody with a testimony. We're not talking about somebody who got in trouble and lost their family that didn't know God. These folks knew God. The word Naomi means pleasant. Pleasant. That reminds us of a Christian who's content and happy. One who finds happiness as they live for God and serve Him. But she, like her husband, reminds us how joy and happiness is lost when we get out of fellowship and out of the will of God. Naomi and Elimelech. Now I lay the most of the blame at the feet of Elimelech. Stay with me. The husband is the head of the home. Christ is the head of the husband. Things got to looking bad, and Elimelech said, we need to go. We're going to leave some place that's having it tough and go somewhere worse. I wonder if there wasn't a question in Naomi's mind to begin with. Usually in a good godly wife, there is. Honey, I don't know if this is right. Oh, trust me, it'll be all right. Load the boys up and follow me. Every man has a desire and an inbuilt within us, an instinct, if you will, to provide for our families. But it is never God's will to leave him to do it. Listen to me, dads. It is never God's will to leave him to do it. I don't know how many times I've had a man come into my office and say, preacher, we're moving, we're even leaving the state, and I've been offered a better job. They're going to pay me a whole nother dollar an hour. I'm not making a joke. Well, where are you going to go to church? Well, we don't know. We'll find one. So it's more important to you to find the job than it was the church. We okay? And I've seen that husband lead that wife and those children away. And I could give you some names, and some of you would know some of them. And personally, you know them, that they did that very thing. They led their family away. And it cost them. Amen? It cost them. Listen, it may get tough. It may get tough, but don't leave. It may get rough, sir, but don't leave. It may be bad at the house. You and mama may be butting heads, and you may be, boy, them old finances get bad, that'll cause a fight quicker than anything I know. I remember I take care of all the bills at our house, and I take care of the checkbook and all that, and I got my money, and Angie's got my money, and then she has her money. Amen. No, she has her money and then we have our money. But I pay the bills at my house. I used to didn't. That's not good English, is it? Is it? You understood what I said. There was a time when I did not pay the bills at our house. My wife took care of everything. And you say, well, you think it's wrong for the wife? No, I think whoever can handle it. Amen. Some of you knotheads can't handle it. Neither can some of you ladies. Our checkbook would get upside down, a bill would get behind, and I'd jump that high in the air. Raising sin. It may be tough at the house. You may be going at it tooth and nail. Don't leave. Don't leave. Stay home, sir, stay home. Mama, stay home, don't run off. It's not time. And the little boys and girls will pay the price for it. Hey, hang in there. The famine will end sooner or later. I wonder if Naomi and Elimelech would have stayed in Bethlehem, Judah, and fought out the famine with the rest of the children of Israel, with Mahlon and Chilion and old Elimelech, would they still be living and breathing? Would it have cost them their life? I want you to notice what they were leaving or where they were leaving. The place they left was called Bethlehem, Judah, in verse number 1. Their home was the town of Bethlehem in the county or the area of Judah. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. House of bread. That's what Bethlehem means. Judah simply means praise. So where they were leaving was the house of bread in the land of praise. When we get sideways or we have difficult times and we walk away from the house of God, what we're doing is we're leaving our Bethlehem, Judah. Hey, are you listening this morning? And we're taking our children and leading them away from the house of bread and the land of praise. I don't want my young'uns around someplace where they won't praise God.
Yeah. Amen.
Mm-hmm. I preached in one of them churches this week. My soul. Preacher's the only person said amen. I think he said it twice the whole meeting. I told one little teenage boy, I said, I'll give you $10 if you'll say amen while I preach. I mean, boy, the singing would be good and they just sat there. I love them. I sure was glad to come home this morning. I know everybody don't worship the same, but I want to make sure my family's where they can be fed in the house of bread and where they'll have an opportunity to give God honor and glory for what He's done in their life. And nobody ain't going to look at them like they're crazy if they come to the altar and pray, hey, Mom and Dad, let's make sure we don't leave the house of bread. Let's make sure we don't leave the house or the land of praise. Amen. That's where they were leaving. Huh. Did you know in the house of bread and the land of praise, it can still get tough. It can still get tough. There's still battles. Amen. Now they were in one here, the nation of Israel. It was their own fault. Well, what did they do wrong? There was no king. Everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. God was cutting them off to draw them back to Himself. Preacher, I don't understand why it's so tough. Maybe God's trying to get us to the point where we're not saying, oh no, what are we going to do? Oh no, what are we going to do? And get us to the place where we say, oh God. Oh God, what are we going to do? Hey Dad, hey, I'm for you filling out job applications. I'm for you going through interviews. I'm for you going through the newspaper and looking at the ad. Hey, but when are you going to get on your face and say, oh God, I've walked away from you, Lord. I'm not where I ought to be. Oh God, I need your help.
Yes,
amen. Where they were leaving a good place. They were leaving a good place. Hey, this ain't the best church in the world. I think it is. But I know better. I'm a little partial. I love my church.
Amen.
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 Been here 15 years, going on 16 now. March will be 16 years. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. If I don't die before then, be 16 years. Come March. Y'all may not believe this, but I've been mad a time or two. I've had my feelings hurt a time or two. We've been through some pretty hard battles. We've sat and sweated bullets and cried and begged God because we didn't know where the building mortgage was going to come from, where we was going to get the gas to run the buses up and down the road. But I realize I'm in a good place. It's the house of bread, and God has blessed me right here more than any place I've ever been in my life. So I'm going to stay with the house of bread, and I'm going to stay with the land of praise. Amen. I'm not going to leave it. I'm going to tough it out. Why? Because we've been through tough times before. I know they end.
Yes, sir.
I know they end.
Yes,
you say, what if this one don't? He'll come get us.
Yeah,
we win no matter what. The economy gets better, everybody gets a good job, and everything's hunky-dory, or it just gets worse and worse and worse, and Jesus says, okay, come on, that's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Where they were leaving, the house of bread, the land of praise. Now, I want you to notice where they're living. Where they're living, the Bible said that they went to sojourn in the country of Moab. That's in verse 1. It's pretty interesting. In Psalms 108 and verse number 9, God describes Moab. He said, Moab is my washpot. Moab is my washpot. He said, what's that mean? Garbage can. Moab is an undesirable place. Moab is my garbage can. Used to where Brother Charles and Sister Janice lived, they lived right behind the county dump. I mean in the backyard of filth. That's where they lived. Now it's a ballpark. But it used to be the county dump. How many ever take trips to the dump? It's not a desirable place. I mean it's not a place where you just go and take the family. Let's go to the dump and spend the day. Now, I know some people, when we as kids growing up, we didn't have the dump. We had dumpsters up from our house, and they was always a family. We called them, I ain't going to say it. That's bad. They was digging. They was always in them dumpsters. You had to watch out. You go throw your garbage over, you might knock one of them in the head. But I ain't never heard nobody say, hey, we're planning a big trip. We're going to have a youth trip Saturday. We're going to go to the dump, everybody. Ain't going to be fun. No, man, it stinks. It's nasty. There's maggots crawling around everywhere. Wharf rats that big.
Yeah,
I'll lie you not. They left the house of bread in the land of praise to go to the dump. Did you hear what I said? They left the house of praise and or the land of praise and the house of bread to go back to the garbage can. One fellow in our church told me a couple of years ago, he looked me dead in the eye, and I knew he was serious, and I understood what he was saying. He said, Brother Eddie, I didn't have it this hard before I got saved. I knew what he meant. I didn't have battles like this when I was lost. I didn't face this kind of stuff before I got in church. Before I led my family to church, I didn't go through all. The devil wasn't fighting you then. What's the contrast? Then you didn't have God, now you do. Yes, you did have it worse. Hey man, your worst day, your worst day as a Christian is better than your best day as a lost man. Hey man, it's better to be saved and better to be in the house of God no matter what the circumstances are. Hey, isn't it comforting when you lay your head down on your pillow at night to know if the Lord called His church out, you and your husband or you and your wife and your little old babies, you're going to be called up and gone.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
How many of you know your family's saved? Talk to me. Why? Don't tell me you had it better. Don't tell me you did not have it better.
That's right.
A lot of times the devil will say, hey, this ain't going real good. Maybe you better start hunting some greener pasture.
Come on.
I understand God can move people from church to church. I understand that. I don't think He's in a lot of it, but sometimes I think it's necessary. We've had people come to our church from other churches who had just struggled to try to do anything and come here and just found their niche and their spot and God's blessed them. We've had people leave here that just struggled and couldn't get it on and you know what I'm saying and go somewhere else and just bloom and blossom. They found their spot. I'm not against that. But what does bother me when the preacher offends you? What's worse than that? As much as I talk, I'm going to offend you sooner or later.
Yeah.
I mean, count on it. Has your wife ever offended you? You didn't leave her. Come on, talk to me. But what's worse is when some blabbermouth can't control her tongue and she hurts your feelings. And you'll let some blabbermouth that ain't nothing but a backbiter and a gossip. Full of pride and envy and bitterness, cause you to take your little old babies by the hand and leave the house of bread. Take your children away from the place where you know good and well they are going to hear the gospel. They're going to be taught the Bible. And if they stay under it, they will trust Christ as their Savior. And you're going to leave the land of praise and go back to the garbage can where nobody sings about Jesus, where nobody talks about Jesus, where He's never exalted in their life, and they never have an opportunity.
Amen.
How foolish. You say, why are you preaching this morning? I think some of you are looking at Moab. I think some of you are about to ready to just throw in the towel in the heat of the battle and say, I can't take it anymore. I just can't do it anymore. I'm about to break. I'm about to crack up. No, man, just dig in a little bit deeper.
Amen.
Hang on, tie a knot in the end of your rope. Don't let go, baby. Friday's coming.
Amen. Amen.
Hang in there like a hair in a biscuit. Don't quit.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. Where they left. They left the house of bread. They left the land of praise and moved into the garbage dump. Moab is my washpot. I don't want to take my children to live in the dump. Leaving the house of bread is never without consequence. It will cost. And it'll cost what means the dearest. You say, preacher, but I've messed up. Okay, don't leave. Don't leave. Stay put. Preacher, I'll fail. Well, get up. But don't leave. I'm discouraged. Get some help. But don't leave. We're having trouble at home. Let's pray and get it worked out, but don't leave.
Amen.
Wow, the consequences are too great. The consequences are too great. God deals with His family. He first takes the husband and puts him in the ground. Then He takes the boys. Mahlon and Chilion. Mahlon means sickly. Chilion means pining or wasting away and puny. I don't see the benefit in this family's life of ever leaving the house of bread. You say it must have been the will of God. It brought Ruth to Boaz. All that lineage stuff. No, God could have done that any way He wanted to.
Yes, sir.
It's never a good idea to leave the will of God to get the will of God done.
That's right.
You understand that?
Yes,
three little graves on some hillside at the garbage dump. Elimelech, a father. Mahlon and Chilion, two sons. And you know what? Elimelech was probably their hero. I watched these little old boys around here as they watched you men play football. Out there acting a fool and killing yourself. Nuts. And them little old boys that Brother Freddie tackled somebody, they just swell up with pride, man. That's my daddy, man.
Amen.
That's my daddy.
Amen.
The old boys look up to you. I don't know how many times I've let mine down, but I know I have. They looked up to their daddy. The only reason Malon and Chilion wound up in Moab's because daddy said go. The only reason they ever left, if daddy had said we're going to stay here and tough it out, they'd have stayed there and toughed it out.
Amen.
Daddy, be careful. It may cost us more than it's worth when we leave the house of God. He said, preacher, I'm just a mess. We all are. Some bigger messes than others. But let's don't leave.
Amen. Come on, brother. Yes, sir.
Let's don't quit.
Amen.
Let's stay where the bread is.
Amen.
Somebody got word to me the other day about a family who said they just weren't being fed. Hey, please don't bring that information to me. I don't want to. You think the preacher just has to know when people talk about it. No, I don't want to know.
Amen.
I don't want to know. But if you're not fed around here, you just don't have an appetite.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's right.
Somebody said, well, your preaching's just so shallow. Must not be too shallow. You ain't getting it. We okay? The preaching ain't too shallow. It goes in one of your ears and out the other.
Amen.
I can ask you at the end of Sunday night what I preached on Sunday morning. We okay?
Yeah.
Maybe it's not what's being fed, it's the appetite.
Yes.
Maybe we don't want broccoli. Maybe we don't want butter beans and all that stuff that's good for you, and pork chop and biscuit and gravy. That's health food, man. Oh, yeah. Didn't you read about that sheet over there? Kill it and eat it. Amen. Maybe you got a popsicle appetite. Maybe you just got a Laffy Taffy appetite. These little old kids in church, Brother Warren's off in South Georgia with his daddy today, but he's the candy man. All these kids love Brother Warren for one reason. It's not his charming good looks. It's not his sweet disposition. It's them two front pockets crammed full of Laffy Taffy. They run up to him, boy. And that's the way a lot of church members are. Come on, preacher, give us something sweet. And I love to do that. You know I do.
Yeah.
But you get those messages. It's messages like these. I'm just not being fed.
Yeah.
I want you to get something that'll help you.
Yeah.
Amen. What are you saying, preacher? Don't leave. Don't leave.
Amen.
Brother Freddie, I hate to use him. He hates it when I talk about him from the pulpit. But Brother Freddie gets a little discouraged sometimes. And he'll get down on himself quicker than anybody ever know. I mean, boy, he's hard. He's harder. You think he's hard on you sometimes? He's 10 times harder on him.
Yeah.
I have to encourage him. Say, wait a minute, brother, you ain't all that bad. Pretty bad, but you ain't all that bad. And I encourage him. But you know what? If somebody with a personality like Brother Freddy's, if they're not careful, they get discouraged. And I'm not saying he will. I'm just using him because I know I can.
Amen.
But what if he allowed that discouragement? Or what if he allowed a depression to draw him away from the house of God? Little old Micaiah is sick this morning. He's just sick as he can be. He told his daddy this morning, he said, I don't feel like going to Sunday school, but I would like to go and hear Brother Eddie preach. If you go away, he's following.
That's right.
Yes.
If you leave, he's going with you. Sick with a fever. I just want to go hear my preacher. I'm sorry if that tears me up.
Amen.
Especially when I think about all the dads that have left. And their kids love their preacher too. Thank God I'm not too shallow for them.
Amen.
Don't leave. Don't leave. Just stay in the house of bread. Stay around this land of praise. He said, but y'all crazy. I know. It's funner than being dry.
Amen.
And dull.
Amen.
No personality. We're crazy, but we have a good time. Don't leave. After everything that was said and done, there was a desire for the Lord. They was left in Moab 3, lonely and grieving widows. No doubt as Naomi walked toward that cemetery, she asked herself, why did we ever leave? Why did we ever leave? We've had some who've left, stayed out, and come back.
Yes.
Thank God. I'm glad this is a place you can always come back to.
Amen.
I'm glad this is one of those places that you ain't got to duck your head when you come in the door.
Amen.
Somebody told me one day, said, I want to come home, preacher, but I'm so ashamed. Just come home.
Right.
Ain't nobody here going to throw no rock at you.
They
may be listening on the radio this morning. Just come home.
Amen.
We ain't got no axe to grind. Ain't nobody here mad at you. Come home.
Amen.
She had a desire to come home. You know what she did? She heard. She heard. Listen to me, church members, and I'm going all kind of directions with this, and I've got to quit, but I'm going to give it to you before we leave. They sung too long. I hadn't been preaching that long. Listen. When you run into one of those disgruntled church members, you listen to me carefully. You do not help them by entertaining their complaints.
Amen.
You're not helping them by sitting there going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're not helping them. You're aiding them. You're aiding and abetting. What you ought to be telling them is, hey, famine's over. There's bread at the house of God. They're still praise. Every time they gripe, you ought to come back with a greater praise. Well, everybody over there, well, let me tell you what happened Sunday. Well, I just don't like so-and-so. Well, wait a minute. Last Sunday, this little old couple, Jeremy and Michelle, they came into church for the first time, Googled us, found us on the internet, came to the altar and got born again. Now Jeremy wants to get baptized. Hey, why don't you tell that stuff?
Amen.
That's just a side note. Ain't even in my notes. Won't cost you nothing. If they're your friend, you won't help them by entertaining that stuff. And by the way, you ain't helping you either. Because if you ain't careful, you'll start to believe it. Yeah, but what if some of it's really true? Probably is. But you find the perfect church, you better not join it. You're going to ruin a good thing.
Amen.
She heard. There's bread again. She remembers how good it used to be. But before she could go back, there had to be repentance. Now stay with me, I'm almost done. To leave Moab over here, this is what repentance means. To leave Moab, the garbage can over here, and go back to the house of bread in the land of praise over there. Here's what she had to do. Turn her back on Moab. She had to turn her back on Moab. By the way, one of those daughters, and we may preach some more on this a little bit later, but one of those daughter-in-law stayed, and one of them said, uh-uh. She saw something in that woman. She said, I don't know about Bethlehem, Judah. I've heard about it. Even in a famine, it's got to be better than this dump we're living in. I don't know where you're going, but where you go, I'm going to go. I don't know where you're going to live, but where you live, I'm going to live. I don't know where you're going to die, but wherever you die, that's where I'm going to die. I don't know your God, but I'm going to make Him my God. Why? Because I see something inside of you.
Yeah.
She had to turn her back on the garbage can. We may have to turn our backs on the garbage can to get back to the house of God. And then we see her return. We read, "Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return into the land of Judah." She returned to the place of blessing. She came back to the will of God. She leaves Moab and returns to Judah. She's leaving the place of sin for the place of blessing. When she got back to town, she must have been well known. She must have been well known. Because everybody made a big deal. "Naomi's back! Naomi's back! You know what she said? She said, don't call me Naomi. She said, "I left here full. I thought it was famine. I left here full." She said, "I've come back empty." She said, "All I've got to even remind me of my family is this little old Moabitish girl right here." Amen. "There's three graves over in Moab. Don't call me Pleasant. Don't call me no more Naomi. Call me Mara. For God had dealt bitterly with me." Great old songwriter, William Kirkpatrick, wrote that hymn, "I've wandered far away from God, now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod, Lord, I'm coming home." Let's stand to our feet this morning. Brother Todd, if y'all would come and get us a song. I don't know if y'all could pull that hymn off or not. "Lord, I'm coming home." Bibba, could you help them? Would you do that? Listen to me carefully before anybody moves this morning. I don't know who I was preaching to this morning. Didn't have nobody in particular in mind. But I wonder, as we bow our heads and close our eyes, nobody looking around this morning, I wonder if there'd be a dad this morning. A dad that'd be honest enough, say, "Preacher, that message was for me." You just slip up your hand. I just want to pray for you. God bless you, man. God bless your heart. Thank you, son. Preacher, pray I'd get back home. Is there any mothers that feel the same way? "Preacher, I need a dad. Going through a struggle, ready to throw in the towel. Pray I don't leave." God bless your hearts. Thank you for being honest. Thank you so much. There may be somebody here today and say, "Preacher, I'll be honest with you. Moab is all I know. I've never been saved. I don't know if I died right now, heaven would be my home. I'd like to get that thing settled in my heart. I want to lead my children, my family in the right direction. Boy, and I realize I need God's help to do it. Pray I'd get this thing about my soul settled. Please, I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you for nothing in the world. I'm just going to do what I said. I'm just going to pray for you." You just slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity if I died right now. I know I need the Lord. Please pray for me." Anybody? Thanks for the honesty this morning. Let's bow our heads. We'll pray together. Father, as we come to you again this morning, thank you for the liberty you've given us to preach your word. Thank you for the precious people you've given us to preach it to. Lord, I pray they were not just hearers only this morning, but doers of the word. Help them today. Oh God, you know the hearts. You know the needs of every individual. Please have your way this morning. We'll thank you. We'll praise you in Jesus' dear name, I pray. Amen.